thank you for tuning in to Richardson's Cove Baptist Church's podcast. We join our weekly broadcast of our Sunday morning message.
I still don't like it, adversity. We're still in it. Hopefully, though, this will be the last one. I'm really praying that it will be, that we can move on to more funner things and encouraging things. Yeah, we just want to get... And listen, those of you that went to that movie yesterday, great day. Come on. Can we watch a cartoon next month? Christy, where is Christy? You're killing us. These movies are phenomenal. And I got to tell you something. It's Indivisible. If you haven't seen it, you have to go see it. But we just cry through the whole thing. We just sit and cry and cry. And we go home and we cry thinking about it. It's just, but it's so powerful. And the reality that you see and what you sense in just adversity. I mean, my goodness. Willow's fired up. But we just see adversity. And I'm thinking... Tim came to me this morning and said, well, how many messages did you get out of that movie yesterday? I'm telling you, it's all over. And we don't know what everybody else is dealing with or what's going through their heart, through their mind, what they're having to battle and what obstacles they face. But this is where we're at. This is the world we're in. This is the life we're in. Adversity is everywhere. You got so many things that you deal with and that you face. And yeah, I know we can always look at somebody else and say, well, I know they probably have it worse than me. Somebody has it worse than you do. I know we can say that. But it doesn't make what you're going through any less. You're still going through problems. So we're going to talk a little bit today in this concept of adversity. But I want to talk today about hopefully what adversity leads to. That's what I want to talk about is, hey, are you going to have it? In the world, you shall have tribulation, right?
Yeah,
but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. That's the thing. We're going to be in a world filled with tribulation, so we need to think about what is it going to do for me? How's it going to affect my life, and what is it going to point me to? Stand with me, if you will. We'll look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and read the first 10 verses. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up in the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise, and he heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet in myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Now you got to keep in mind before we go to that next verse and talk about the obvious point that comes in verse number 9, what is Paul saying here? Is he talking about all the wonderful things he's done in the world? No, he's not talking about things great he's done in the world. He's talking about how he's been effective in ministry. He talked about the revelations that God has given him, how God's opened up the windows of heaven, how I believe it was him that went into that third heaven, that went into paradise, that saw God, that saw these things that are not even lawful for somebody to even talk about. They don't even have the vocabulary to express these things. So we got this Paul who has had an amazing relationship with God, and God revealed so much to him. He's saying this kind of guy who is being blessed by God, if he's not careful, he can be puffed up and he can think he's really something in ministry. So that's why he prayed, because God put this thorn in his side, his flesh, whatever it is, whether it's a physical ailment or whether it's just whatever it is, God continued to keep him humbled. Prayed for it 3 times, verse 9. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Boy, try to do that. In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Father, we're thankful for your word. Thank you, God, for the words that Paul put together and how he was able to glory in you in the midst of the most difficult of days. Our prayer, my prayer, God, first, forgive me of all of my sins and help me, God, to look to you in all of the adversity that I face. Help me in every area of my life that I will look toward you, God. You're my only strength. When I'm weak, you're stronger in my life because I'm dependent on you. And God, we pray that you just guide the message today, that you lead us where you want us to go, God, and give us the words and the encouragement that we need today in the midst of these difficult lives and difficult world that we live in. Thank you so much for your love and the lessons you show us and teach us every day. Thank you, God, for your mercy and your compassion and your patience, your tolerance. Lord, you're just so amazing and so good. And we pray your blessings on the remainder of the service in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Hey, team, you better throw me my water. I left it down there, bro. I'm a little parched. Thank you, my friend. So when we look at this whole adversity thing, I thought, well, there's got to be, we know that God intends good to come out of adversity, right? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So we know Romans 8:28 is true. So God has some things he wants us to gain from it, to understand from it, to learn from it. So today as we look at adversity, and hopefully as we wrap it up, let's focus on what we hope and pray that adversity will lead to. What will adversity lead to? What's one wonderful thing that we hope that adversity leads to? I got a verse of scripture over here in Hebrews chapter number 12. I think it's over here. Yeah, Hebrews 12, 4 through 7. Ye have not yet resigned unto blood, striving against sin. Ye have not forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And ye endure chastening. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father will not chasten? So, what is he saying that we need to do? What do we need to understand in this? In adversity, even if the adversity is caused by our sin, what is the hope that we will, what do we hope to be led to? We hope to be led to our knees. We hope that this, even if it's chastening of God, if it's adversity that comes from whatever means, we hope that it will literally send us right to our knees before God and cause us to pray. There are many times that adversity comes in our life because of what? It comes because of our sin. We bring sin in our lives. When sin comes in, adversity always follows. Other things cause adversity. We've talked about that. But in whatever it is that causes adversity, make sure that we immediately go to God and start praying about that. Don't try to analyze it. Don't try to figure out what it is that has caused this or caused that, or what is that I think I can do? What can I bring to the equation to fix what's going on? We're not the answer to the adversity in our life. We're not the answer to it. We don't hold the answer. We don't have the movie yesterday. We're not giving nothing away by sharing this, but some guys had died in one of the attacks that had happened. And so the chaplain, this new chaplain, was asked to go into this tent and talk to these guys that some of their buddies had died that day. And he literally had to walk in there. And as he was walking in there and talk to him, he's talking to the guys, and he said, come on, can you just tell me about your brothers, some of them that died in that attack today? And some of the guys talked a little bit about him, but then one guy kind of mouthed off. I mean, he's just hurting. He's in pain, and he don't understand. He was just mouthing off and saying, there's a little girl that died. My brothers that died out here. You got a verse of scripture for that? What kind of good God would let something like that happen? What kind of good God would take away these people we love? They're good people. They're out here trying to fight to defend people's lives. A little girl died, and all she hoped to do was to get closer to God. And now she can't live her life. Her life is over. What kind of good God would do such a thing? So we would like to find that magic pill, or we'd like to find that magical verse of Scripture that answers all of the problems we face in adversity. But I hate to tell you, you may not always find that wonderful answer you're looking for, depend on what type of adversity you're under. But I can say this, I hope and pray that whatever adversity that comes your way and is in your life, I hope that we go to our knees first and begin to pray about that adversity that's in life. Because even though we may not understand all the things that brought us to where we're at, now, we know Peter sinned against God. We know that he denied him three times and cursed his name the third time. So we know that sin caused his adversity. We know that he was broken and he was torn inside, and he was dying, not just physically, but spiritually Peter was dying. And so we know that brought his pain and his anguish. And the adversity that came because of his own choices and his own sin. So what did Peter do? He went immediately to his knees. He started praying. He was a broken man before God. He knew what it is that caused his adversity. We know that Paul, when he got saved, boy, he had done a lot of stuff, hadn't he? He had been so pivotal in collecting these Christians, in getting those guys put in prison, put in jail. But when he got saved and he fell on his knees, he met Almighty God. He met Jesus Christ. He met the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And he hit his knees and he gave everything up and gave it to Jesus Christ. Whatever adversity comes your way, whatever problems we may face, whatever causes them to come in our life, is not as important as what we're doing in the midst of the adversity. Getting on our face before God is the best thing in the world we can do, isn't it? Now, there might be some people that say, well, you know something, I think I'm pretty good shape. I think I'm all right. I think, you know, as far as where I'm at with God right now, I think I'm pretty good. And I hope that's where you're at today. I hope there's no adversity in your life. I hope that this is a wonderful day for you. But it doesn't exclude us from getting on our knees before God. Here's why. I look back in the Bible and I see one of the most beautiful prayers that anybody's ever prayed in the book of Nehemiah. In that first chapter, when he heard about what was happening back home in Jerusalem, when he heard about his people, when he heard about the ruin and the rubble of the walls, and he knew that they were trying to rebuild. He knew that the city wanted to thrive, and he knew that the altar had been reinstated, and they're trying to get things going, and the temple underway, and he knew that things were heading in the right direction, but there was so much destruction, there was so much death, there was so much chaos there. Now, we know that Nehemiah wasn't there, and he didn't directly cause the adversity that came their way. But in his prayer, he prayed and he said, God, please forgive us of our sin. I have sinned against you. My fathers have sinned against you. We have wronged you. We have disobeyed you. And in that prayer, I say, oh my goodness, what compassion that he has. What humbleness and humility of spirit we see in a man like Nehemiah. He wasn't even there, but yet he took upon himself the guilt of what had happened back home in his city in Jerusalem. And I'm thinking, you know something? Even if there's no adversity in your life, I guarantee you the person next to you, there's some adversity in their life today. So what we need to do is, if we don't have anything to pray about for ourselves, you pray for somebody else. Because, listen, we are living in a world of chaos. Thank God we're blessed to be in East Tennessee, right? I talk to people that live in other areas and live in major cities and live in other states, and the things that we see happen here, they say there would be absolutely no way you could go to the school and do anything over there. You can't even go in the door with some of the things we're able to do here. Camp Cove would not happen. We wouldn't have the connection that we have with some of the places and people that we have today. We are so blessed to be living in the place that we live in. But still, we feel that pressure of adversity coming in. We feel it creeping in, even here. I can't imagine what it's like for somebody trying to be a Christian in some of these major cities. I don't know what they're up against, but it's phenomenal. If you don't have anything to pray for yourself, you pray for them. What did Ezra do when he prayed? He prayed and he said, God, forgive us of our sins. As Ezra was preaching and declaring the word, it said that he had prepared in his heart to come and preach that word to the people. When he got down there and he started preaching, a lot of those men had taken wives from some of these other nations, which was wrong. Wasn't supposed to do that. Wasn't supposed to be unequally yoked. And it wasn't just because they married somebody from another nation. That wasn't the part that was unequally yoked. It was because they brought in this ungodliness and paganism into the equation. That's what God means when he says don't be unequally yoked. Make sure you both are believers in Jesus Christ. Make sure you both believe and trust in him as Savior. So when Ezra came down and saw that, and he preached to those guys, Ezra had not taken a wife from another nation. But yet he included himself in the sin of the nation, in the sin of the people, in the sin of his brothers and sisters. God forgive us of what we have done. We have all kinds of people around us hurting. When adversity hits, and if it hadn't hit, it's going to hit. Let it drive us to our knees. Let it lead us to an old altar. Well, what do we do up here, Tim? We kill it, don't we? You said that one day. The altar is a place we kill things. That's what the brazen altar was about. It was a place where they killed animals. Their lives were taken. Let's kill it. Let's bring all of our adversity here and lay it down before the feet of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. So what's another area that it needs to lead us into? I thought about compassion. There is a verse of Scripture here that's so beautiful in the first chapter of 2 Corinthians. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able, listen to this, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. There's a whole lot of comfort going on there. What he's saying in a nutshell is, as you go through adversity in your life and as you face hardships and difficulties in life, let your comfort come from God, who is the God of all comfort, so that you can turn around and comfort somebody else who perhaps is going through something similar that you've already gone through. I can't help but look at Jan when I think about this. And I see Brad back there. What are the odds of these two people meeting each other and falling in love and getting married? And 16 years ago, Brad going through the very same surgery that Jan is fixing to go through a week from Monday. It boggles the mind to comprehend how and why and all these things come together. But when I read that verse of Scripture, it's like a big, huge light bulb went off. That in both dealing with this same issue, this same form and type of adversity, God chose. Let's think about it. God chose to put them together so that as Brad went through what he went through 16 years ago, and the family was there with him to strengthen him and pray for him, support him, that now 16 years later, his precious wife is going through the very same thing. What is Brad able to bring into her life that, listen to this, not just because that's her husband, that nobody else in the entire world can bring to her? Boggles the mind, doesn't it? Okay, that's just one instance of how God works through adversity and wants to lead us to compassion. Do you like suffering? I don't know anybody that likes suffering. If you say you enjoy suffering, I think you're probably lying. I don't know anybody that likes it. I don't know anybody that enjoys adversity. We don't like pressure. We don't like stress. We don't like those things. But as we go through those things, consider this, that everything you're facing in your life, everything you've dealt with, and listen, I've got to be honest with you, just from a ministry standpoint, I've been preaching a long time. Don't know how long, but it's been a long time. I'm an old timer, so. But early in my ministry, I faced a lot of random stuff, weird random stuff. I mean, I'm thinking, I'm a newbie. I'm not ready for this kind of stuff. I'm not ready. How in the world, you know? And as the years went by, especially as I came over here and y'all let me come over here and be your pastor, which I thank you for that, I got to looking back over some of my early ministry and some of the things that I thought, God, why did you make me face these things and so young in the ministry? And why did you bring all this? And why did you put me, I'm like all of us, God, why'd you put me through that? I was young and inexperienced. I wasn't ready for those kind of things. Why'd you put me through that? And as I get older, I understand why I faced some of that adversity that I did in my ministry as a young man, because God is able to use all of those things to come back in one form or another to help somebody else that is facing something similar. Listen, everything you experience, don't think it's just random, or don't think God don't care about it, but let it drive you, let adversity lead you to compassion so that you can love on somebody else that's going through exactly what you went through. Now, if you came through it and you survived and you're successful and you see, you look back and you see the hand of God and you just go, wow, how in the world did God ever do that? Then what do you want to do? You want to tell somebody about what God did. What better person than somebody dealing with the very thing you're dealing with? I don't know how many people I talk to that have been addicts. And they're delivered and they're set free. And what's one of the first things they tell me as they're getting clean and they're starting that brand new walk? They come to me, and because God has been their deliverer through that, God has blessed them, they come to me and they say, preacher, I just want to let our young people know there's a better way. They don't have to choose this. They don't have to go down the same path I went down. And that's what it's all about. It's all about us using what we've gone through in our life. Let this adversity lead us to where we can benefit somebody else and save them some terrible steps in their life. Hopefully, whatever you've experienced, whether you brought it yourself or somebody else brought it, or however it came in your life, if it's completely outside your control, I pray that we use it to glorify God and become compassionate toward other people. I don't think I would have the same compassion for folks that suffer with depression or anxiety if I didn't suffer with anxiety myself. Have I prayed for God to take my anxiety away? You better know I have. Has He? Not yet. I don't know that He ever will. And the thing about it is, I need to be okay with that. I need to be okay with the fact that what that does is that gives me a little more compassion towards somebody that's dealing with something similar that is completely beyond your control. If you suffer with depression, if you suffer with anxiety or a combination of both, any form or type of these things, they can cripple you. I understand that. And it is outside of your control. You can't just get in there and punch it out. We can't pull in there, pull something out. And folks will say, and I used to be this way before I had my first anxiety attack. I was one of these kind of people, and I've learned this is not how it works. Well, just flip the switch and change it. Kick yourself in the seat of the britches and get up and get with it. After I had my first anxiety attack, I understood it's not that way. It's not a switch that you control. It's controlled by somebody else. We need to pray about it, obviously. Pray that God will comfort us and strengthen us. And pray for God to take those things away. I pray for God to take the anxiety away. But at my point in my life, I know that if He takes it away or if He doesn't take it away, I know why it came in my life. I know for sure why it came in my life, because He called me to ministry, He called me to preach, He called me to be a pastor and to help counsel folks and encourage folks. And I have a compassion now for folks in not just that area, but in a lot of areas that I didn't have before. And I'm thinking about the life that Paul lived. Look at all the things he dealt with in his life. Look how cruel he was to those people who just nothing more than just loved Jesus. He was brutal to them. He was cruel to those people. And so now he's got this thorn in the flesh. He's got this thing piercing him, continually poking him. And I think with that thorn in the flesh, such a great way to describe it, by the way. God's real good at that. You get a little thorn or something in your, or you get something on your back, you get something that is poking you a little bit. You ever get something in your clothes, maybe a little piece of wood, just a little bit, you don't notice it all the time, but when you move, you're okay 10 minutes. It's something that nags, it's something that's always there. And I think that's what the thorn was. It wasn't something that necessarily had to hurt him physically or be painful as much as that constant, on that second level of awareness, reminder to remain humble before God. Because Paul knew exactly what kind of man he would be if he was not humbled before God. He was a proud man and an arrogant man and a boastful man. He was the very man that he did not want to be, but I don't think he could have remained humble had God not given him that thorn. Just as God gave me anxiety, so I can be in a position to understand and love like I couldn't love before. Hey, so use whatever it is that's in your life. Use it to be compassionate toward somebody. Don't just get mad and complain to God and fuss at Him about it. Use it. Use it for the glory of God. Amen. We don't like it. We're just real here, right? We're just real. I'm honest with you where I'm at. Be honest with God about who you are and where you're at. The next one is we hope that it leads us to truth. Over here in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Verse number 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Man, we don't like those scriptures. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But, here's what he's saying, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We got to make sure that when adversity hits, hopefully it leads us to truth. Hopefully it leads us to a place where we're looking for God's Word. We're looking for those things and those nuggets that God has for us. I want you to listen to just a few. There are so many precious scriptures that God has for us. But listen to some of these. Psalm 27 and 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's a promise. Psalm 50:15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. Exodus 14:14. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord, you know this one, shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. James, listen to this in James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's what the beauty of God's Word is all about, is especially in the midst of adversity. Let it lead us to God's truth. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lead not to thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let adversity lead us to truth, to His truth. Don't be confused by Self-help, don't be confused by advice of a friend, even though they might love you and care for you. Make sure that we're drawing all of our strength from God and from God's Word, and not from people and not from things and not from just community groups and gatherings and support groups. Not that these are bad things, but they all must come in addition to the truth of God, which this is the only place we're going to get help. If I don't have the Scriptures to cling to, I'm all to pieces. I'm just jello. I mean, I'm falling apart if I don't have the truth of God to cling to. So let adversity lead us to Scripture. Now, we'll call people and say, well, what do you think about this? This is happening. Oh, my goodness, we don't know what to do. We don't know how we're going to get through this. Hey, let's just get on our knees and pray about it. Let's give it to God who loves us, and let's just believe in Him and hold on to the precious promises, because the thing about God is He cannot lie. If God breaks any of these promises that we have in His Word, He is a liar and He is not God. So everything about Him in this Word is true, or listen, none of it is true. You can't take part of it. You can't believe Jesus to be a good prophet. He's got to be the Son of God. He's got to be God made flesh, or He has got to be the greatest deceiver and liar ever known to man. Romans chapter number 8. Romans 8:28-29, we kind of talked about these earlier. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And verse 29, notice it says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed into the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So what do we learn from this, and what does adversity lead to here? Well, obviously it leads to trust God, because all things work together for good. But at the same time, it should lead us to a maturity that perhaps we didn't have before. Have you ever come through adversity, a difficult part of your life, and if you trust God through it, you look back and you say, my goodness, look where I'm at right now. I was not there before in my relationship with God. What happens when you endure through hardships? What always happens when you endure through hardships? You always grow spiritually, don't you? It never fails. There's no way you can't grow spiritually. If you deal with adversity and you trust God through it, I would venture to say, even if you don't trust God through it, you're still going to grow somewhat, because you're going to understand what you did wrong. You're going to understand what needs to be done right, and you're going to learn that even if I didn't trust Him this time, next time I better start trusting in God, because He is my only help through adversity. So there should become a maturity level as we deal with adversity. And here's the reason for the maturity, and here's the blessing of the maturity, because you're in a place right now. I'm in a place right now. I don't think I could deal with things that I'm dealing with right now in my life and in ministry that I could 25 years ago. I had to go through some things to get to where I'm at, and I had to mature spiritually in my relationship with God to get me to where I'm at. Do you think Joseph, as a young man, when he revealed the vision of his brothers and his parents kneeling down before him, do you think that at that time he really had the heart to forgive his brothers that sold him into slavery, that were desiring to kill him? Could he really redeem his brothers because of what that did? Well, I would like to think, hopefully, that Joseph did have that heart. But I think all the experiences that he went through and all the adversity that Joseph faced brought him to a point in his walk with God that he was able to love and truly forgive his brother. So we're not just growing up physically, we're growing up spiritually. Hopefully, we're growing up spiritually. What God doesn't want is a bunch of physical adults walking around who are spiritually immature. He wants us to grow spiritually as we grow physically. So God expects us to grow and learn from this adversity. Let adversity lead to maturity. Grow in it. Learn from it. Don't just be a little kid and throw tantrums in the middle of the grocery store like we've all done before. Hey, I know you've done it. You wanted that sucker as bad as I did, I know. And we get mad when things don't go our way. Don't let that be us now. Let's learn from the things we've experienced. Learn from the adversity and let it cause us to become more mature in how we look at life, in how we look at God, in how we look at ourselves. And the last one is, I think, the greatest. 1 Peter chapter number 2, 19, beginning in verse number 19. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Now you gotta listen to these words. I'm gonna read them slow so we kinda I gotta let it digest here. For what glory is it if when ye are buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? If you do something wrong and somebody calls you out on it at work or at home, all right, you did it. Go to your room or whatever you did, blah, 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 you know, we're docking your pay. Then when we do something wrong, we expect to be punished for what we've done wrong or learn a lesson from what we've done wrong. So for what glory if when you're buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently, but if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. When you didn't do anything wrong, but yet you get called out as if you did something wrong. When you suffer while you look around the world and all the ungodly people tend to just make money and more money and more money, and we're struggling when everybody else seems to have everything together, but my world and my family and my job and all around me is falling apart and crumbling just like those walls at Jerusalem. We'll look and we'll say, why in the world is this happening? If we're wrong, we're big enough most of the time to accept what comes our way. But when we've done well, God's telling us that is acceptable to God, that if we're willing to accept what comes our way in the midst of us trying to be godly. Verse 21, for he even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Listen, Jesus did nothing wrong, yet he suffered greater than anybody will ever suffer, ever has, or ever will suffer. Jesus did zero wrong, but he stood silent before his accusers, didn't he? What did you do? Who are you? What is truth? Jesus stood silent and accepted what came his way. Verse number 23 says, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but listen to what he did, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He committed himself to the Father. Wow. So in the midst of our adversity, I pray that it leads us ultimately to Jesus Christ. I pray that it leads us to commit ourselves. We may not understand why it's here, who brought it, what brought it, how long it's going to last. Just like the picture of the storm. We don't know what all's going on. We don't know what all to expect even tomorrow. Things may be good today, but it may be stormy in our life tomorrow. But in all of it, I pray that ultimately it leads us to Jesus Christ, to commit ourselves to him above everything else. Because friends, let me tell you something. He is the only answer for this world. He is the only hope that we have. We can sit and try to rationalize all we want to. We can try to lay it down and put down papers and structure everything to why we're where we're at. And it's not going to help. What's going to help is when we take it to Jesus Christ and commit ourselves to him. Say, God, you know something? I'm choosing to hold on just to those verses of scripture right there that you promised me. I'm choosing to believe it. You got this, God, whatever it is that's going on in my life.
Again, we thank you for joining us. If you would like more information about our church, please visit rcbc.us, and may God bless you.